To the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all. Get your Bibles and stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh to do in the text and in the hearer's heart what you desire to do. I make myself available so that you might use me for your glory. And God, I thank you in advance for what you shall do in this place and people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. I want to call your attention to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. This being our observance of the Lord's Supper, I thought it appropriate, as led by the Spirit of God, to deal with this text. Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. 11 says, "But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. As we talk about this more perfect tabernacle, we look at scripture and the types as it relates to the book of Hebrews, and as we look at Jesus Christ and many of the essences of this word are types of Christ and the Old Testament in view of the New Testament. The reality is that because of what Jesus has offered to mankind and have become for mankind, he offers a new covenant, a New Testament, a better way than was the Old Testament or the Old Covenant or the Old Way. And there are some things that it is likened unto so that we will understand. Because if you read on in verse 13, it says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh." Verse 14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" So I need you to understand, my brothers and sisters, as we look at this redemption, the redemption purpose is so that we will have a renewal of life. That we must understand that God's purpose for sending Jesus Christ was not just to save us, to be saving us, but to save us to serve and to enjoy the presence of God eternally. One of the things that I love about the text that we're dealing with today is that this particular verse 12 deals with the theme of soul redemption. Redemption means to pay a ransom, to free someone. And so every born-again believer has been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ back from Satan. When Adam sinned, he passed on death-carrying, polluted blood to all mankind. That's one of the reasons, as you very well know the story, that Jesus did not use man's blood as a part of his human makeup. And so therefore, Satan had no right to touch his life because Jesus did not have death-carrying, polluted blood in his veins. It was the work of the Holy Ghost, who overcame, overshadowed his mother Mary. It was there he was conceived of a holy nature. And so as he grew up, he did not grow up in sin. He did not commit sin. So therefore, the threefold strikes against men born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and sinful willfulness matters. Jesus was not guilty of any of those. But the record is he was tempted in all points, like as we, without sin. So when Jesus has to deal with you and your situation, your temptation, your inability to be strong, your inability to do this, your inability to be all God's called you to be, he knows the power struggle that you had to try to do the right thing, even though sometime you failed. Because he could identify with everything you have dealt with, yet without sin, it makes him the perfect example for the people of God. One of the things that you look at and understand again is the Bible tells us in Romans 6 and 17 that we all were captives to sin. And here's what you need to know. If you were not redeemed from the slave master Satan, then there was no way you could ever enter into heaven. And so Jesus Christ had to pay that cost. Listen to what our verse reveals to us. Three things. It deals with the payer of the redemption, and it deals with the price of this redemption, and then lastly, it deals with the permanency of this redemption. Now let's go back to the text, because I want you to see, as we look under the guideline of payer of this redemption, having obtained eternal redemption for us, Jesus Christ is the his of this verse, his own blood, talking about Jesus here. He is the one who paid for our redemption. Listen again, this was the purpose of his coming to earth some 2,000 years ago, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. The Son of Man, Matthew 20 and 28 says, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, one of the things that I love about Jesus, in spite of the story of Calvary, is the fact that Calvary didn't catch him off guard. He left heaven and its immortal glories with the purpose of going to Calvary to stand in, do me one favor right here, when I say stand in your place, call your name, to stand in your place. Now, because you've acknowledged that he came to stand in your place, you recognize it is no mistake that you've been redeemed. And now that you have been redeemed, he has redeemed you not to sit, but to serve. He has bought you back and brought you back from the place where the enemy had you captive, where the enemy ordered you and structured your ways that were filtrated with the powers of darkness so that you would do the will of Satan. Jesus bought you from Satan, brought you out of his darkness and into his marvelous light, changed your attitude, changed your agenda, changed your activities, changed your ambitions so that you can become more like him. He didn't save you so you could sit and act like you're saved, but rather so that you can walk in the newness of life and show that you've been born again. You have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So he's the payer of this redemption. Say, Jesus is the pay of this redemption. We don't want to make any mistake about who bought this redemption for us. It is Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. If he came to be the ransom for many, then it qualifies the whosoever will as a candidate for this redemption. What I love about that is that God is no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter where you've been born, to what family you've been born, what culture, what color, what creed, what country, what concern. If you will follow the word of God and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the true and only redemption for your sins, the payer of your salvation and redemption, you shall begin to walk in a newness of life with authority and with power and with purpose. You see, a whole lot of believers get messed up because when they're called out of darkness into the marvelous light, what they've been is cleansed, but they ain't been converted. And the problem with being clean and nowhere to go is it leaves you empty. You know how you get dressed up and you just get dressed up. Not really many of us get dressed up to sit around the house. When you get dressed up remembering days of old, it's just natural. If I'm getting dressed, it's because I'm going somewhere or anticipate going. So I'm not just talking about putting on anything. I'm talking about dress clothes. Not many folk wake up and get themselves together to get dressed to sit around and watch television. And so we are creatures of habit, and though Jesus Christ has saved us and cleansed us, because we have not converted our activities to align with our new agenda, we need to fill that void space. And so knowing who you are and knowing the purpose of the payer of our redemption, he has a plan for us to operate in the things of God, whereby he receives the glory, and we and those to whom he connect us to or send us to will receive the good. God didn't save you and give you a gift for you not to use your gift. It's amazing that some of you with gifts of ministry, gifts of singing, gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy, gifts of all sorts are in the ministry, and you're sitting on them rather than serving with them. God has a need for you. He saved you, redeemed you, brought you back, bought you back so that you can serve him. What are you doing for him? You wonder why your life is empty? It's because you're not utilizing the gifts of your purpose. It's because you have not realized that the payer bought you back with a purpose. You don't redeem something and don't use it. He didn't redeem you for nothing. You are part of God's ultimate plan. You should be discovering right now, what is the purpose of that plan for me? Because then will you become fulfilled underneath the skin with finding your place, fitting in your place, and operating in your place. So that deals with the payer of this redemption. But let's look at the price of this redemption again. By his own blood, right in the middle of that verse. That is the price of this redemption. By his own blood. Price of redemption was extremely high. We did not have the means, the riches, the resources, or the wealth to pay for our own redemption. Listen to this. No one of us had any ability, resource, or know-how to get our salvation or redemption outside of Jesus Christ. That's why 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 and 19 talks about that we've been redeemed, but not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to this, because I want you to recognize something. It is important to realize that our sin was so great that we can never downplay the cost of what it cost Jesus to redeem us. I think I'll say that again. I know sometimes we act holier than thou, but don't sit here and think that you sinned so little that it didn't cost Jesus much. I got news for you. If he only saved you, he still had to pay for it with his blood. His own blood was the only blood worthy of God to remove your sins and give you a proper place in the kingdom of God. That's how high the sin price is, and for you was. And yet, only through the precious and powerful and pure blood of Jesus did he pay with his own blood. Nothing else, listen to this, could satisfy God. Nothing. The types of the blood from the goats and the bulls and the lambs were just types. And their sacrifice was just temporary. That's why when you look at the text and understand that Jesus, who is the supreme sacrifice, who gives his own blood, who knew before ever coming here that he would have to lay down his life. And if he laid down his life, he would have to take it up one day again. Realized it would cost him his own blood. But listen to this. Unlike the types, where after the one sacrifice was dead because the blood was removed from him, another came and did the same thing, and the process just continued over and over and over again. But when it came to the perfect and supreme sacrifice, Jesus Christ himself, one time. His blood was the perfect blood that God required. The type was showing as a shadow what would happen when he came. And so all of that was evidence, and it was affected by what would happen on Calvary through Jesus Christ willingly giving up his life, thus giving up his blood to pay the awesome price of our sins. No wonder it says nothing but the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us from our sins and secure our salvation. Nothing but the blood. No other sacrifice, no other person, no other situation, nothing but, don't underestimate that blood. Because that same blood that saves you, cleanses you, that same blood is that blood that covers you, that same blood is that blood that empowers you. Don't play short the blood. And it's in the blood of Jesus. It's through the blood of Jesus. It's because of the blood of Jesus that we have the position with the Father that we have. And that's why he doesn't see our sins, because when we are covered with the blood, his price was so enormous that God didn't look beyond the blood. He took Jesus's word for it. Just like the Passover, when the spirit of death saw the blood of the Lamb, the slain lamb. He didn't go behind the door. He didn't go inside. He didn't look to see who was there, because anybody who was there behind the blood was automatically saved. Thank God for the blood. Because you know what I thank God about that blood is that blood is so pure and so powerful that it still has cleansing agents in it right now. He did enough to get us started, but just getting us started wasn't enough. He had to do enough to keep us going, and that blood still washes us even from our present sin. That's why John says, if we say we have no sin, we are lying. The truth is not in us. We say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And so what does still cleanse us from our sins? Nothing but the blood. Somebody ought to say, thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. The price of his redemption, this redemption, was by his own blood. I want to move on to the third part of our message, the permanency of this redemption. Because if you read the scripture, again, it says in verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now listen to this. There are those who don't believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. Once the ransom for your soul is paid, you will never have to have another ransom paid. It's clear from the Word of God. If Jesus entered in once and did what he did so completely, then what is there a need for another payment? Listen well now. If the scripture says, having obtained eternal redemption for us, it is clear that eternal means forever. Listen again. Having obtained, he obtained eternal redemption for us. He bought redemption through his blood and put our name on it. He gave us a gift certificate to eternal life. And I got news for you. If you got a gift certificate to eternal life, what you need another one for? Because there is no expiration on this gift certificate. All you got to do is show up with your gift certificate that's got your name on it, and all the Holy Ghost has to do is verify that this redemption gift certificate has been given by Jesus Christ to you. Because I got news for you, heaven has a record of every gift certificate Jesus has given. Y'all not getting this. Y'all not getting this. Do you understand that if this gift certificate through his life blood was given to you and he knew you could not get to the Father except by him, the Father would accept no substitutes. The Father would accept no one else standing in Jesus's place. That the only way you could get to the Father was by him. And he knew he had to secure our eternal redemption for us. Because there was nothing in us, there was nothing about us that could ever get into the presence of God that would make us worthy to be allowed into the holy family of God. And it is because of Jesus. Some of you parents who've had birthday parties have had children at your house for a birthday party that you didn't even know. If I'm right, parents say amen. If I'm not, then just keep quiet. But the reason you let those children in that you didn't know is because they knew your child. And because they came to celebrate your child's birthday, you let them in your home and celebrate that life because of their connection with your child. The only reason that we have gained access to the family of God was because we came through Jesus. And because we came through Jesus, God didn't ask no questions about it. Because Jesus made it possible. And you got to see this. If Jesus don't save you, how you gonna save yourself? If Jesus doesn't keep you, how you gonna keep yourself? If the Jesus we have come into this salvation and knowledge of doesn't complete the work that he started, how are we gonna finish it without him? It cannot be done. So he himself has obtained eternal redemption for us. Look at this next verse and I'm going to close. Because when you look at this word and notice, no price has ever been great or equal to that paid for our salvation. Therefore, God himself will not let the saved be lost again, according to John 10:28. We couldn't do it, so if we couldn't do it, what makes you think that if Jesus doesn't do it, it can be done? Listen again, thus this redemption makes you forever free from the condemnation of sin. Forever free. Satan doesn't have a right to hold over you what Jesus Christ has redeemed you from. See, why I'm making this clear is because many of us cannot live the fullness of life and joy and service that God wants us to. It's because we don't understand this redemption issue that has brought us into the place where God gets the glory and we get the good because of what Jesus has done. And so when you miss that, you miss all of the purpose of your being here on planet Earth. And you miss the fullness of the fruition of what God wants to manifest in your life and do through you and cause you to enjoy the benefits of the kingdom and be a blessing to those both in the kingdom and show those out of the kingdom the way to the kingdom. It's because we don't understand this awesome work of redemption. Now listen to this. We've been redeemed. And that is eternally so. But just because we've been redeemed doesn't mean God has not stopped working on us. God is still working on us. In other words, even though we know where we're going, He's still getting us ready to go.
Come on, God.
I said, even though, listen, you've got redemption right now, you're saved right now, God's got a place prepared for you, but right now He's preparing you for the place. Jesus has already prepared the place for you, but I thank God He's not going to come get you till He got you together. What He has begun in us, He's going to complete in us, because that is His word. And so thank God for His word. Listen again at this next verse. Verse 13 says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh," verse 14, "how much more?" If all of this stuff was done that got them saved through another year, but at every year's turn, they had to do it all over again. Don't care if they sinned one time or 1,000,000th time, they were going to have to be cleansed and go through that process all over again. New goats, new bulls, new lambs would have to be sacrificed every year to go through that process again. But Jesus came and gave His precious blood, and He did it once and for all. It was so real, so powerful, so true, so conclusive that God never required that another sacrifice be made on behalf of our salvation. So if that was so securing in God's sight, the souls of the believers, then why would we have to lose what He has redeemed us and brought us from? You can't lose that salvation if you've truly been saved. Let me say that again. If you've truly been, there's some people who put their names on membership rolls of churches around the country and they're not really saved. There's a difference between membership roll and your name being on the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is on the Lamb's Book of Life, listen at this. If you get your name on it, the devil can't erase it off you. The disciples of Jesus came back one day and they were excited. They cast out some demons and they saw others casting out demons. And he said, "Jesus, listen, we told them, wait a minute, y'all ain't with us. Y'all can't be casting out no demons. We've been anointed to do that." Jesus said, "Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. If they're not against us, they are for us. Let the work of the kingdom keep on going." He said, "But let me refocus you right. You're getting excited about the wrong things. Listen, because I got news for you. There's always going to be some demon casting work needing to be done. So don't think you've done some great thing just because you had an experience or an episode of casting out demons, because that's an all-day, everyday kind of situation. He said, but you really need to be excited about that. That is eternal, and that's having your name on the Lamb's Book of Life.